Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 5th chapter, which you heard read earlier. Perhaps you recognize our Gospel lesson this morning by the name Jesus Calls His First Disciples, or perhaps the miracle of a great catch of fish. And both of those summaries are correct, but neither one captures the main point of the text. The main point is trust the word of Jesus. Trust the word of Jesus, for it is the powerful word of Christ that disciples are made, and Christ's church is established, grows, and is sustained. It is true, Jesus' miracles capture our attention, but they are not at the heart of his ministry. His miracles are visual evidence that Jesus is the Christ, that he has power and authority over all creation. But at the very core of his ministry is his preaching and teaching. As we heard last week, after the crowds had witnessed so many different miracles of his, they came to make Jesus their own personal miracle worker. So Jesus told them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." It was a divine necessity that Jesus proclaim the good news of salvation. It is the message that God came into the world in the flesh of man to fulfill all the law and the prophets, then be delivered into the hands of sinful men, crucified, and on the third day rise from the dead. And in all of this, this is how Christ defeated the devil. The devil and all his works and ways, and Christ redeemed sinners from eternal death and restored them to new life in him. So all who are in Christ have redemption through his blood. They have the forgiveness of sins and are reconciled with the Father. And even though Jesus has now ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, he continues to preach to you and me and all people to this very day. Just like Simon Peter in our text this morning, you and I would do well to trust the word of Jesus. Trust it above and beyond all other words of human wisdom. Trust it over and against our own reason and our personal experiences. It is through God's preached word that the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it in him in the one true faith. In our text, the crowds were pressing in on Jesus because they wanted to hear his teaching. There were two boats nearby. Both of those boats had spent the entire night out laboring on the lake, catching nothing. So Jesus gets into Simon Peter's boat and asks him to push off a little bit from land. Jesus sets down and begins to teach. At this point, Peter already knows who Jesus is. His brother Andrew had introduced them probably a year or so earlier. And we also know that it was likely that Peter was present at the wedding at Cana when Jesus turned water into wine. And then, as we heard last week, during Jesus' when he was performing all his miracles, Jesus went over to Peter's house to heal his mother-in-law of her fever. So Jesus' preaching and teaching is not new to Peter. In our text, Luke records, "And when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.'" Well, one thing we do know for sure is that Jesus did not come into the world to teach us how to catch fish. He was a preacher, not a fisherman. Yet the son of a carpenter turned rabbi directs the professional fisherman where to go fishing. Peter, the utmost professional, had been around the lake a time or two, certainly, and he knew that in this lake, the best place and time to catch fish was in the shallow water after dark. St. Peter says, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing." But rather than protest too long against Jesus' suggestion, he trusts Jesus and says, "At your word, I will let down the nets." Peter is the expert fisherman. Jesus is the expert preacher. And Jesus' word went completely against all of Peter's experience as a professional fisherman. All of his wisdom told him there are not going to be any fish over there in the daylight like Jesus says there's going to be. We're out of luck. We're wasting our time. Peter has no good reason to let down his nets into the deep water in the daylight except for trust in Jesus' word. Faith in God. Faith trusts God's word, which again is the point of our text. Trust the word of Jesus. Just like the servants at the wedding of Cana, they trusted Jesus' word. They filled those stone jars to the brim with water and then took it to the master of the feast. They did this all at Jesus' word. They trusted him. So too with the fishermen at the word of Jesus. They dropped their nets, and lo and behold, they caught a great catch, so much that their nets were breaking, and they call in another boat, and so much that both boats are sinking, trying to haul in the great catch. Well, if you were a fisherman, perhaps you would have been celebrating. Wow, we've never caught this many fish before. We're going to be famous. We're going to be rich. Probably the greatest catch of their career. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Of all the things to be afraid of, the boats are sinking, but he's not afraid of dying. He's not afraid of the sinking boat out in the deep. He is afraid of Jesus, the Holy One of God, the Lord of creation, whom even the wind and the waves obey, even whom all the fish in the lake obey. Peter knows a sinner cannot stand in the presence of holiness. It was the same way with Adam and Eve all the way back in the garden. When they recognized their sinfulness, their nakedness, they hid. They tried to cover their shame with fig leaves. And to this day, sinners run from God. They try to hide from God because you and me and all sinners are afraid to be seen as we truly are. Your fears and my fears, they reveal our false idols. So think, what is it that you are afraid of? The answer to that question is the same answer to this question. Who are your false gods? Who are your false idols? Are you afraid to die? Are you afraid to hurt or to lose someone? Are you afraid of the future or afraid of something that happened in the past and afraid that what would happen if people found out about my past? Are you afraid of your family, your friends, or your neighbors? Perhaps you're afraid of the devil and all things unseen. Whatever you are afraid of, that is what controls you. Whatever you are afraid of, that has become your God. The first commandment teaches us to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. But how many other things do we fear, love, and trust in greater than our Creator? Standing in a sinking boat full of fish, Peter has it right. He's afraid of Jesus because he knows that God has every right to judge him for his sinfulness. The God of creation knows Peter's sins. And the Old Testament Isaiah felt the same way when he had his vision of the Lord sitting on his throne surrounded by the seraphim. The seraphim are worshiping the Lord and singing out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The sound of it shook the foundations of the temple under Isaiah's feet, and the smoke from the incense filled the room. But Isaiah knew that he was a sinner. He knew that he could not look at the face of the triune holy God and live. He knew he was a sinner whose lips and life were anything but holy. And there he is, standing in the presence of the Lord of hosts. But our Lord of hosts is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. A seraphim flies to the altar, picks up a burning coal, takes it from the altar and touches Isaiah's lips to purify them with the fire. And then speaks these words of absolution to him: "Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." This is how you and me, poor, miserable sinners, can stand in the presence of our holy, holy, holy God and live to tell about it. Your guilt must first be taken away. Your sin must be atoned and paid for. And the preacher, standing in the boat full of fish, sinking in the middle of the lake, he is your atoning sacrifice. He is the Lamb of God who takes away all the sin of the world, including yours and mine. Instead of condemning you of your sin, Jesus bears your sin, and he carries every bit of it to Calvary's cross. Instead of condemning you of your sin, he goes to the cross so he can be the one to be cursed, afflicted, spitten on, stricken, and forsaken in your place, shedding his precious blood and dying your death so you wouldn't have to. Standing in the boat, the sinking boat, Jesus looks at Peter and his standing there in his sinfulness and says, "Do not be afraid." Brothers and sisters in Christ, do not be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. Trust in the word of Jesus. He says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Trust in the word of Jesus when he says to you, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Trust the word of Jesus. It was a divine necessity that Jesus proclaim his good news message of salvation. And because he knew that one day he would victoriously ascend into heaven and be seated at God's right hand, he called Peter and those other disciples to be fishers of men. Fishers of men by casting out the great net of the gospel. Fishers of men as witnesses to Jesus' death and resurrection. And he even does that to this very day. He calls sinful men, just like Isaiah, just like Peter, as pastors to preach the good news of Christ crucified for sinners. The pastor is merely Jesus' mouthpiece who has been called in the name of Jesus to proclaim his gospel word, speaking his holy word of absolution, attaching his word to water in your baptism, attaching his word to bread and wine, so that your pastor can feed you Jesus' body and blood in your mouth in his holy supper. It's where Jesus forgives you all of your sins, all of your sins of unclean lips and unclean thoughts and unclean life. Your sins of your false idols and your fear of things that can kill the body but cannot kill the soul. It's by the powerful word of Jesus that disciples are made and Christ's church is established and grows and is sustained, all in the word of Jesus. You see, casting a net into the sea and bringing up a great catch of fish, it's not the same as baiting a hook and dangling it out in the water, trying to lure a fish to come. No, the great gospel net, our Lord's gospel, doesn't need any bait. The word does all the work, and you can trust it. So publicly confess it, because it needs to be preached. It needs to be shared outside of these walls too. You don't have to be a preacher to share the gospel message of Jesus' salvation. It's for the Christian to share with their neighbor, so we publicly confess it. It is Jesus' word that creates and sustains faith. It is the power of salvation for all who believe. And that's what we do because we are Christians. We trust and believe. We confess what we believe. This marks us as Christians. Fellow redeemed, Jesus was not content to be silent when he was on earth, and he is not content to remain silent as he is seated at the right hand of the Father. He wants his word to be preached to all people, and he wants his promises to be heard by all people. He wants them to be heard by you and all people. He wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth of his life-saving word. And it is in the preaching and confessing of the word of Jesus that creates disciples and sustains Christ's church on earth until the end of time. So as Christians, we trust the word of Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.